Morning. Today's daf in Baba Kama is Kuf Zion. Okay, we've been behind for a couple days now. With the help of Tosfos, we're going to hopefully catch up today. On one hand, it's very appreciative. The amount of the Gemara is shorter, but the Gemara happens not to be hard. It just happens to be that there's just a basic machlokas. Okay, we'll get to it later. We'll talk later more about it. In the meantime, however, today's daf is Kuf Zayin. Thank the Lubin Foundation for the sponsorship of the daf. Daf is on the Zechon Shemas Liba, Gabriela Bar Shmuel. We're on Kuf Vav Amud Aleph, and we are dealing right now with the Shita of Rav. Rav has a very interesting Shita. Gufa, we're going to go back to the beginning of where the Gemara starts the Sugya once again. We are on Kuf Vav Amud Aleph. Okay. Yeah, it's about eight lines from the top of the Amud. It's the last word in the line, Gufa. So here comes the Tohen and the Nita. So the claimant says to the defendant, do you have my money? And the defendant says, what are you talking about? I don't have money. Vinishpa. And the defendant is so confident that he is in fact telling the truth that he swears. And now witnesses come afterwards and said that, yeah, you know he was lying the whole time. So Potter, so he doesn't have to pay. And he quotes the Pasuk, and the Pasuk says that once there's a Lekicha, once you take it, so therefore you're not going to have to be, right? There's no longer requirement of paying. And the way that Rav is understanding the pasuk is Kev and Shekeblu Balam Shvua. What is the Kabbalah over here? The Kabbalah is a Shvua, meaning once the Tohen accepts the Shvua from the Nitan, so that's it. Shuvain Mishal Mamma. So therefore, there's no payment. And basically, the way we said over yesterday is that with the Shvua, now case closed. Meaning, even though it was perjury, even though he lied, case closed. Now, it happens to be, we are going to spend a good amount of time this morning discussing the Shita of Rav. Now, it happens to be, when we say case closed, now we know, even according to Rav, it can't possibly be an all circumstances case closed. So, for example, what we've been discussing about for the last day is Hodah. Meaning, what if after the Shavuot he makes an admission and he says, you know what, I swore, I perjured myself under oath. So we know there's a Parsha in the Torah that addresses that issue. And the Parsha says that if a person was Kofir and a person made a Shavuot and then he was Modah, so then he has to pay. Karen Chom Mishvasham. So we know that the case has not come to a complete and utter end, but if, however, there was no Hodah, and the only reason that we discovered that he was lying is because there were Edim, so right now, the way Rav is presenting itself is that, okay, case closed. Meaning, you made a demand against him, he made a Shvuah, you accepted the Shvuah, okay, we're done. That's the Sheet of Rav, which again, as we pointed out, is really difficult to understand, but that's what we're saying right now, and that's the way we're understanding Rav.
That's
an excellent question. Meaning the word Kabbalah means I accepted it. Meaning I don't know. Right. Right. Do you think the Tohen was really saying, okay, fine, he made a Shavuot. Okay, he must be right and I must be wrong. I mean, obviously Kabbalah over here just simply means that he heard it. But did he really accept it? I agree with you. I don't think so.
Is there a difference between the time that the witnesses come and the time that he made a Shavuot?
Right. The Gemara just said that the witness came after the Shavuah.
Right.
If the witness come before Shavuah, so that's it. In other words, now you're caught. Okay. Amarava. Misabre milsa de Rav b'milva de lotzan. So now the Gemara is trying to wrap its head around the Shita of Rav. And so Rav starts off by saying, you know what? All this makes sense to me, but only makes sense to me in the case where it's a loan. Because, as we discussed, the nature of a loan is that I give him money with the expectation that he's going to spend the money. And then later on, he's going to come around and he's going to supply new monies. Ava pikadon b'rishus d'maikai. But listen, if we're talking about a pikadon, like I can't imagine. I gave him something to hold, not money. I gave him an object to hold. And he holds on to it. And I say, hi, how are you? Let me have it back. And he says, well, what do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about. Whatever. He makes some claim that it's not with him anymore. And then he makes a shvuah on a pikadon. And Rava says, and think about it, pikadon, the item didn't go anywhere, it's still there. I can't imagine that under that circumstance, Rav would say, well, you accepted a shvuah, case closed. Case closed, the pikadon sitting in the man's house. It can't be. So the Gemara says, but that's just simply not true. I'm Rav, I feel pikadon. When Rav says this halacha, that shvuah ends the case, is he even talking about a case of pikadon? Pikadon. Because if you go back and you look at the Pesukim of Lakach Malav Alishalem, it's talking about a Pikadon. So therefore, you just look at the Pasuk that Rav Darshan, the context of where it's found in the Torah, and it's relating to Pikadon. So Rav said the Halach even by Pikadon as well. Yasa Rav Nachman Vekamalash Maisa. So now Rav Nachman is learning over this Shita of Rav. Eisve Rav Achim Rav Minyamala Rav Nachman. So now another Amora challenges Rav Nachman. And based on the following, Hechem Pikdoni, look at the exchange. Where is my Pikadon? That's a towing. Amalei Avad. So he says, sorry, lost it. Okay, Mashbiechani. He says, really, lost it. Now, obviously, the counterclaim of I lost it must have pottered him. Otherwise, right, there's nothing to counterclaim. But in other words, the Nitan says, I'm sorry, I lost it. So he could be that he's a Shomer Chinam. It's got to be that he's a Shomer Chinam. Okay, anyway, I lost it. So V'amar Amen. So let's have a Shvua. He says, fine, I'll make a Shvua. Amen. V'aidim Eidim Aso She'achlu. And then witnesses come afterwards and said that he ate it. Mishalim is a Karen. So then he has to pay the principal value. Okay, right away you see that this brisa is difficult according to Rav, because according to Rav, once you make the shvur, the case is closed. And this brisa now is reopening the case when Adam come in. Now if he makes the admission on his own, after he makes the shvur, so that's Parshas Vayikra. So right, Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Vayikra, Perek Hay. Okay. So Amale Rav Nachman Hacha, but my eskina kigon dishma chutzah basin. So Rav Nachman says, well, maybe the brisa is talking about a case where it was an informal shvur. It was not a formal shvuah. So the Gemara says, okay, but read on in the Braisa. So now second half of the Braisa. Again, the Tanya starts the same. Where's my Pikadon? Amarlo Nignav. And so the Nitan says, I'm sorry, it was stolen. So right, so in the first half of the Braisa, Avad. In the second half of the Braisa, the counterclaim is stolen. But again, they both would potter him. And he says, okay, let's have a shvur. And he says, yes, I'm making a shvur of Edom, Edom, Aso, Shiganvo, Misham, Tishlam, Kefal. So witnesses come and say that it was stolen, so he has to pay Kefal. Why does he have to pay Kefal? We learned this back in the seventh paragraph. We're reviewing it right now, because this is a classic example of Toin Tanas Ganav. If you claim that something was stolen from you, the Torah treats you ki'ilu, as if you stole it yourself. And therefore, effectively, what now has happened is that witnesses come and caught you. Now, I'll say the word stealing, but stealing in this context means claiming it was stolen, but still, we're going to treat you the same way. You're going to pay careful. Now, what if after the shvur you admit yourself? So then, Misham Karen Chamishvashim. So again, we go back to Vayikra. That's the Parsha in Vayikra, where after the shvur you admit to yourself that you did wrong. Okay, so now you have a chance to bring a carbon, and you're going to pay Chamish. Now, the Isa, Kadacha Chutza Beisimika Kefal. Now, the Gemara says, now in the second half of the Braisa, I know it's a formal shvur. It has to be a formal shvur, because the only time you're going to pay kefal by Toin Tanas Ganav is only with a formal shvur. So now, Amar Le Yichin L'Shnei Lach. So now this is Rav Nachman defending Rav. So he says, look, I know Yichin L'Shnei Lach Reisha Chutz LeBeisim V'Seifa BeBeisim. Look, I could say this to you, that the first case in the Braisa when it comes to Avad, the Taina was Avad, so the shvur was outside of Beisim informal. And in the second half of the Braisa where it was a Taina of Geneva, so that was in Beis Din, that was formal. However, but Rav Nachman says, I know that's a forced answer. I know you're not going to like it. Okay, so I'll tell you that both of them are occurring in Beis Din. And the difference is that in the first case there was a shvua, but an unprompted shvua. An unprompted shvua still technically is informal, and so therefore, he basically made a shvua before Beis Din told him to do so. Such a shvua will not close the case. That's the first case of the Braisa. And the second case of the Braisa, it's a more formal shvuah, where Beis Din told him to do so. So now the Gemara continues. Rami Bar Chama says to Rav Nachman, I don't understand what you're trying to accomplish over here. Meaning, because I know that in terms of the halacha, you don't fall like Rav. Meaning Rav is saying a chiddush. And I know that you don't even hold the bizchiddush. You hold that even after the shvuah, the case isn't closed. Witnesses come after the shvuah, he's going to be chayiv. However, mashkunin afshecha derav lamalach. So let me ask you a question. We just went through a brisa. You just answered defending Rav. You don't hold like Rav. What are you doing? Amar lei, it's a good question. Amalei lefrusha l'derav. So the Rav hachim etaritzla lemesnisin. So the Gemara says, Rav Nachman says, I want to explain Rav. What do you mean? Meaning, I don't hold the Rav. I don't accept the halacha like Rav. But still, right? He's Rav, and he has an opinion. And if I can, I will defend his opinion. Okay, just fascinating insight, just into the respect that the Tanaim, the Amoraim, had for one another, defending each other's positions, even though they don't necessarily agree with that position. Okay, it really speaks to this idea of elu ve'elu divrei Elokim chayim, meaning that, and they respected each other's positions, even though they didn't hold of each other's positions. Okay, v'ha Rav Kra Kamar. So the Gemara says now, what about the fact that Rav had a pasuk? Meaning, it's not just Rav had a shita; he had a shita based on his understanding of the pasuk. So Amre, so to that, the Bnei Yeshiva said, "Kra l'chol nishman shabatar nishman v'la mashamim hudasa." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but that pasuk, no, you can explain that pasuk differently. All that pasuk is teaching us is the following: that when there's a shvua coming from the Torah, the purpose of a shvua is for the defense, not for the offense. The defense will say that there's a claim made against him." The shvua will be able for him to be able to protect his money and defend his money. But the shvuas that come from the Torah are not offensive shvuas. They don't allow the toin to make a shvua in order to collect money. Now, yes, as we learned already, and we're going to do this in Masechta Shvuas, there are a number of occasions where there is a shvua made by the toin, not by the nitan, but those are with midrabanan, and when we get to shvuas, we'll talk about it. But fundamentally, the Torah, when imposing a shvua, is for the defense, not for the offense. In other words, the one who is obligated to pay, so he has the opportunity to make the shvua. Okay. Mace of Rav Hamnuna, the Gemara now is going to ask another question against the Shita Rav from another Braisa. Okay, so he's being taken to court again and again and again. And he makes the shvua five times over. Bein bifnei beizin, mishlom bifnei beizin, whether it was in front of beizin, whether it was not in front of beizin, v'kafar lav, and denying chayv kol achas v'achas, so he's going to be chayv in every single one. Now this is an interesting brisa. Basically, multiple chiyuvim for multiple shvuas, even though it comes out to the same point again and again and again. Right? Quite frankly, it's hard to understand. You know how he's even being taken to basin a second time, a third time, a fourth time, a fifth time. But let's we're learning the brisa. The brisa says that for every shvua that he makes, is going to be chayev. And v'amar Rav Shimon matam, and Rav Shimon says, and what's the reason? And we know the sheet of Rav Shimon throughout Shas is time of dekra, meaning he looks for the reasons behind the Torah to help us understand and to shape the halachas of the Torah. Okay, so v'amar Shimon matam, hovi achalachzor lahodos. So he says now the reason why is because existing between each shvua is the potential. What he could do after shvua number one is he can make an admission. Okay. And so therefore the next kfira is going to be significant. Now, between two and three, again, he could make a hodah, making the third kfira significant. That is Rabbi Shimon's explanation. So the Vahacha, now the Gemara says, now, as best as we can understand this, fine. But what's clear in this braisa? Vahacha kafetz lamasetz amad hishbi alav katani. First of all, can we say that's an informal shvua? It's really difficult. Because look what the braisa says. The braisa says, hishbi'ah. Hishbi'ah, belash and hifel, means based and caused him to swear. So he didn't do it on his own. It was not unprompted. Okay, that's point number one. And chutz the basin lamatzus amram bifnei basin katani. And you can't say that this shvua took place outside of basin because the braisa says bifnei basin. Okay, so now we have a braisa that says very clearly that there is a shvua formal done in basin, and meanwhile after that there could be another shvua, and after that there could be. And according to Rav, none of this makes sense because according to Rav, once you accept that first shvua, the case is over. And we're not going to reopen the case again. And so now, this braisa presents a strong difficulty for Rav. So, most of Lavu Mefarik Lalitz Dadnan Katani, the Gemara says, okay, but after saying over the braisa, we'll say an answer to the braisa, and the answer will sound like this. That when you read the braisa, you have to segment the braisa and read, Hishbi Alav Chutz the Beis Din. That when Beis Din caused him to swear, that was outside of court. And then, Ube Beis Din, and then when the braisa was described, in Beis Din, kafas. It was unprompted. He was an unsolicited shvua done on his part. Okay. Difficult reading of the braisa, admittedly, But again, if we're looking and we're interested in defending Rav, so we'll do that. We'll just simply divide the brisa into two halves. Meisav Rav, the Gemara challenges once again. If let's say you have somebody who is entrusted with an item and toin tainas ganav, and he says, "Look, I'm really sorry, it was stolen from me." Vinishba vahoda, and then he made a shvua, and then he made a mission of vahu edim, and then after all this witnesses come, imach lo bahu edim hoda. If he first made his admission, masham karen v'chomesh vasham. So then vayikra, meaning then we have a hishvua immediately followed by, it doesn't have to be immediate, but the next thing in the timeline is his own admission. Fine, that takes us to Vayikra, and therefore Karen Chomash Vasham. However, if we have the witnesses coming first, and then his admission is after the witnesses come, that's not an admission. We know that the item was we know that he lied. Witnesses told us that he lied, so that admission is nothing, and therefore Misham Teshlam Mekefo V'Asham. Now, interestingly, over here, two things are going to happen. Number one, he's going to pay kefal. Of course he's going to pay kefal. This is a classic example of Toin Tanas Ganav. He was entrusted with an item. He claimed it was stolen. He swore that it was stolen. This is Toin Tanas Ganav. And now he's got to pay kefal. That part's easy. What's interesting, however, is that even after the witness is coming, he made an admission. So even though, as I mentioned, the admission is really it's nothing. We know that that he lied, but still, his admission will bring about an obligation for a carbon asha, meaning he'll still have a kapara opportunity. V'hacha now, okay, period. Ad kan divrei habraisa. Again, if you're Rav, this brisa is really difficult to follow. You can't say that we're talking about informal shvuas, because kefal ketani, because the brisa is talking about kefal. The only way the kefal requirement, punishment, is enforced is only when a formal shvuah was made after he was toin tanas ganav. So of course it was a formal shvua. So Ela Merava. So now basically the Brisa has just taught us that even with a formal shvua, the case is not closed. Not like Rav was saying. So the Gemara says Ela Merava Kol Hoda Loshna Toin Tanas Avav Loshna Toin Tanas Ganav Lo Amarav. So if there's an admission, so we'll say like this. It doesn't matter whether we are talking where the claim was Geneva, whether the claim was Aveda. If there was an admission, so Rav was not responding to that. Now again, as I mentioned at the beginning of today's shiur, we knew this already. Meaning we knew that even after the Shavua, if he makes an admission, the case gets reopened. But again, that's Vayikra, meaning that's the pasuk in the Torah, and we knew that, right? The Haksiv Veitzvada, the Bayis Shlomei Karen V'Chamish. I'm sorry, the Bayis Shlomei Karen V'Chamish. Again, that's a pasuk in the Torah. So even from the very beginning of this entire sugya, that part we knew. Shvua followed by Hoda'a, the case is reopened. Toin Tanas Ganav Avav Edim Nami Lo Amarav Daksiv Teshlam Mekefal. Now, as far as he made a shvua, affirming the fact that his claim was that it was stolen from him. So again, we know there also the case isn't closed, because we know conceptually we have kefal. So the case isn't closed, because if witnesses come after shvua, so then he's going to be chayv kefal. So there also, Rav wasn't addressing that case as well. So really, now what we're doing is we're really paring down Rav. Rav was only addressing one scenario. Ki kama Rav, kigon, shetoin tanas avad v'nishba, v'lo hoda, uvau edem. So the Gemara says that the only case that Rav is going to be dealing with is where the defendant made the claim that it was lost. And then he swore. Then witnesses come after that. Then and only then, the Shvuah will close the case. And that's the only scenario where Rav says that the Shvuah closes the case. It can't be where there was an admission after the Shvuah, Vayikra. It can't be where it was Tonis Tanis Ganav. That's Toin Tanis Ganav. So it's only by Toin Tanis Avad. Okay. Also, Rav Gamda v'amal shmaita kama de Rav Ashi. So now Rav Gamda goes and he says over this entire sugya in front of Rav Ashi. Amar le Rav Ashi says, I don't understand. You really mean to tell me that Rav's entire shita is only centered around the one case of Toin Tanas Avad? I don't understand. Hashem, my Rav Hamnuna tamidei de Rav. So look, Rav Hamnuna was one of the students of Rav. And meanwhile, the Yadda Amar Rav Hoda, the Kamosiv Hoda. And meanwhile, one of the questions that he posed was the braisa that we did earlier this morning, where he swore five times. And in such a case, we were talking about hodah. The atamart hodah lo amarav, and you want to tell me that Rav wasn't talking about such a scenario? Rav Hamanuna understood his Rebbe to be talking about such a scenario, challenged his Rebbe based on that. Now, if Rav never was addressing the case of hodah, so then why would Rav Hamanuna challenge him on that front? You don't think he knew what his Rebbe was holding? So the Gemara says, you misunderstood. When Rav Hamnuna was asking his Rebbe, look, if you say that with a Shvuah, let's say you made a Shvuah, and then witnesses come, and then you're Chayev. So then I can understand how there could be a carbon afterwards. Meaning, if we subscribe to this idea that with a shvuah the case isn't closed, meaning not like Rav, and if witnesses were to come at that point in time and say that despite the fact that the man made a shvuah, he's obligated, so then I can understand that with the next shvuah he's going to be chayv again. Fine. So but if you want to tell me that witnesses come afterwards and he's going to be exempt, so then the Gemara says, so then I don't understand. Look, if witnesses come afterwards and meanwhile the position is case closed, he made a shvuah, witnesses are not going to hold him liable. And now you want to tell me, well, maybe the only reason that we should be mechayiv him a second time is based on his own hodah. Yeah, but let's be honest. He didn't make an admission. So in other words, if witnesses can't come and reopen the case, and he didn't make an admission, so why would he be chayiv for shvuah number two, for shvuah number three, for shvuah number four? That's the question that Rav Hamnuna was posing to Rav. So in other words, Rav Hamnuna's understanding of Rav is consistent with what we're saying. We're just simply, we misunderstood the question to begin with. Okay. I'm Rav Chia Bar Abba, I'm Rav Yochanan. We are on Kuvav Amud Beis. We are about 8 lines from the top of the Amud. Hatoin Tan has gone Bibikardam Misham Teshel Mekefal. Okay, so let's say you were entrusted with an item and you claim the item was stolen. So then, and you made a Shvuah to that effect. So, Kefal, meaning if you're caught afterwards, so you have to be Kefal. In other words, the classic example of Tointan is Ganav. Now, Tavachamach Misham Teshel Mekefal V'chamisha. Hol V'ganav Misham Teshel Mekefal. V'Tointan is Ganav Misham Teshel Mekefal. Ma Ganav Shu Misham Kefal Tavachamach Misham Teshel Mekefal. Okay, I know that was a mouthful, but basically what the Gemara is saying is like this. Look, in the case of actual geneva, what happens if you compound your sin? And after you steal it, then you shecht it or you sell it. So we know, dal vehei. So what the Gemara is saying is, same thing is going to be true by Tolin Tanis Ganav. If you're a shomer and you claim it was stolen, one, now that the Torah treats you like a Ganav, and how do I know the Torah treats you like a Ganav? Because you're going to pay kefil if you're caught. So now if that's true, if your Tolin Tanis Ganav and compounded it by either shechting or selling the animal, you're going to be liable dal vehei. Okay, that's the point Rav Yochanan just made. So the Gemara says, "Malaganav shekem misham teshel mekefal shelo b'shvua." Tomer b'toin tanis ganav shekem misham teshel mekefal ela b'shvua. So the Gemara says, "But wait one second. I understand the comparison, but is it really fair to compare the two? Meaning, because when it comes to a ganav, you're a ganav by action. When it comes to toin tanis ganav, you're not a ganav by action. You're a ganav by word. And when we say word, what we really mean is shvua." How can you compare the two? Toin Tanis Ganav, it's not just simply enough to say, hey, it was stolen from me. You have to swear, and without a shvuah, you're not going to give the kefal, you're not going to receive the kefal fine. So is it really fair to compare the two? So So the Gemara says, you know what? It's not the best comparison, but it's a hekesh. Meaning that we're going to find that both Ganav and Toin Tanis Ganav is found side by side in the Torah. And so once defined side by side in the Torah, so that invokes the rule of Hekesh. Hekesh literally means next to one another. And so therefore, whatever applies to one applies to the other, even if they're not perfectly comparable. And in fact, the rule that we have, the Gemara here quotes, Ein Meshivin al Hekesh. When you have a Hekesh, it's unchallengeable. Even if you do have a way to challenge it, it's simply unchallengeable. Hanich Laman Damar Chabegan of Chabeton Tanis Ganav Shapir Laman Damar Hai Imi Matze Aganav Imlo Imatze Tavai Beton Tanis Ganav Ma'ikal Amemar. Taking us back now to the beginning of the seventh Perek, the Gemara there and the Gemara over here as well has the following debate. We have two psukim side by side in the Torah and Parshas Mishpatim. Right, we're in Perchav Beis, it's Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Zayin. Pasuk Vav, I'm reading it quickly. Ki Yiten Ish al Re'eo Kesef Okim L'Shmor V'Gunav Mibeis Ha'ish Im Yimatzei Haganav Yishalem Shnayim. So one Pasuk says Im Yimatzei Haganav. Now is that talking about a Ganav or is that talking about the Shomer claiming it was stolen? Not perfectly clear. And then the next Pasuk, Im Lo Yimatzei Haganav, so we have two psukim side by side. So one position in the Gemara in the seventh parak of Baba Kama, which we did now already some time ago, tells us that one pasuk is talking about Ganav and the other pasuk is talking about Tointana's Ganav. If you subscribe to that viewpoint, then we're good, because then we have these two psukim side by side. We're going to employ the rule of Hekesh and Amishiv and Alekesh. However, says the Gemara, if you subscribe to the idea that both psukim are talking about Tointan as Ganav, so where's your Hekesh? So the Gemara says, Amri Ganav HaGanav. So the Gemara gives a very simple answer. Simple, I don't know about simple. I take that back. The Gemara gives an answer, and the Gemara says that HaGanav, right, with Pasuk Vav, so encrypted in the word HaGanav is both Tointan as Ganav and the Ganav himself. The hay is extra, and so that affords us the opportunity to look at it and as if speaking about both the Ganav and the Tointanas Ganav. Okay. So now, Rav Yochanan taught us the following. If you're Tointanas Ganav, then you make a Shvuah, so you have to pay Kefal. Okay. And then if you compound the error by either shechting it or selling it, so you're going to be chayv dal vehei. Even though the Torah describes that only in the context of Ganav, Rav Yochanan is extending it to even Tointanas Ganav as well. Gemara has the following brisa, and this brisa seems difficult according to Rav Yochanan. Heichan shori. Again, we start with a taina, a toin, and a nitan. So first the claim. Where is my ox? Nignav. So the nitan says it was stolen. Sorry. Mashbiechani, and so the Toin says, I'd like you to make a Shvuah v'amar amein. And the Nitan says, okay, I'll make a Shvuah. Ve'idim eidim aso she'achlu. And witnesses come along and they say, hey, you know he's a liar. You know he ate it. Okay. So Mesham Teshul Mekefal. So now he has to pay Kefal. Right. In other words, this is the prime example of Toin Tanas Ganav. Ve'achad yevshel lechazayis basa b'lo shechita. Now the Gemara says, now wait one second. Wait. Slow down. What did the witnesses say? Witnesses said he ate it. Okay, now, right? The Gemara says, let's think this through. How do you eat meat? So it's very simple. You shech the meat and then you eat it. So now the Gemara says, right? Didn't we just realize what just happened? Meaning he was tointan as Ganav and he shechted the animal. So according to Rav Yochanan, why did the Brisa stop short of Kefal? The Brisa should have took us to our logical conclusion, which is Dal Vehei. Okay, that's a strong question against Rav Yochanan. V'ketani misham teshal mekefal, teshal mekefal and teshal medal vehei lo. That is a strong question against Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara is going to defend Rav Yochanan. Hachab ma'is kinen kagon shachlu nevela. Okay, so answer number one, the Gemara says, is that he didn't shech the animal. He ate nevela. Okay, and, I mean, look, obviously, he already has showed that he's not the most scrupulous of people. Okay, he goes to the extent where not only does he steal, but he also eats nevela as well. So the Gemara says, now, why don't we suggest that he ate the animal while a trefik? So the Gemara says, well, it could be that we subscribe to Rebbe. I'm sorry, let me explain the question just a little bit better. Okay. We know there's a machlokus tanaim. If I shecht an animal that I cannot eat, as far as a simple example, the animal's a treifa. So is that shechita registered as a good shechita or not a good shechita? That's a machlokus tanaim. So the Gemara says, if you subscribe to the position of Rabbi Shimon, and I know the Gemara says Rav Meir, but meaning Rav Shimon argues with Rav Meir. If you subscribe to the position of Rav Shimon, so then shechting an animal that you can't eat doesn't function as a shechita. And therefore, as a technicality, you're not going to be chayv dal v'hei because it's not a shechita. So the Gemara says, okay, but he doesn't subscribe like Reb Shimon, he holds like Reb Meir. So and that's what the Gemara says. K'Reb Meir dama shechita shein ruyah shmei shechita. Even though the resulting shechita didn't allow me to eat the animal, but Reb Meir still calls that a shechita. Now once you're calling it a shechita, you're chayv dal v'hei. So that's why he didn't give that answer. V'lishan le'be ben pekua. So the Gemara says, okay, well, why don't we consider the fact that maybe what he ate was ben pekua, meaning that a fetus inside of an animal where the mother was shechted, so you're allowed to eat the fetus. K'Reb Meir dama ben pekua ton shechita. So the Gemara says, well, he subscribes like Reb Meir over here, where even though the animals are ben pekua, and even though the halach is you don't require a shechting on the ben pekua, because it's nita b'shechita simo, it was allowed with the shechita of its mother, but nevertheless, he subscribes to the shechita of Reb Meir that says that the ben pekua does require shechita. That's why he didn't give that answer. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the reason why he's not chayv dal v'hei is the following. Maybe he was taken to court, and what the court said was, say tain lo. The court says to him, you have to pay. And the Hamarava say tain lo tavach u'macher pater. So the Gemara says, now this is built on a halacha that once again we already did earlier in the seventh parak, but we're going to say it over again right now. And that is, you stole, you're taken to court, and the court says to you, okay, you got to pay. And then after that, you shecht or you sell the animal. So since the court says to you, you have to pay, that breaks between the act of theft and the act of either shechting or selling the animal. My time, Kevin de Paske, la milsa. V'tavach b'macher, avi gazlam, v'gazlam l'mesham, tashlom erba v'chamisha. So, it's Paske la milsa. It basically creates a break in the action. It creates a break in the action, and now any subsequent act you do now with this animal no longer follows the Geneva path. Because Geneva is it's undercover. Right? It's done at night. It's done when no one's watching. Now the court told you that you stole. The court told you to pay. Any action you do subsequent to that no longer falls under the Geneva category. It falls under the Gzela category. You are outright stealing. And everyone knows it. And therefore, you're not going to be chayav dal v'hei. Remember, dal v'hei is only chayav as a continuation of the Geneva. So this is no longer a continuation. However, chayav atalitain lo. However, if Basin doesn't say tain lo, say tain lo, but the Basin says chayav atalitain lo. Now, I'm still not clear. I'm just admitting the things I'm unaware of. I'm not clear of whether or not Beis Din is supposed to be saying one over the other. Is this just a function of what the way Beis Din just happens to be saying it? Is there a real difference between whether Beis Din is going to say Tsei versus Chayev? I'm not sure. But anyway, notwithstanding, if Beis Din were to say Chayev Atalitain Lo, which basically means that it seems favorable in our eyes that you should be paying, but it's not that the Basin is instructing. So then, you see, Chayav Atalitain Lo is not a final ruling of the Beis Din. It's just it would seem to us that you should be paying. But since it's not a final ruling, it won't break the act of theft and the act of shechting. The shechting is still considered a continuation of the theft, and therefore you're going to be chayv dal v'hei. So the Gemara says, so, Rav Yochanan, you could have also given that answer as well. Meaning our question is, why isn't there a payment to dal v'hei? So the Gemara says, well, maybe we're talking about a case where Beis Din said, say, tain lo. So the Gemara says, and while we're at it, you know, there's another answer as well, which is that let's say it was a partnership of thieves, and only one of the partners shechted the animal. And we learned earlier, again, going back to the seventh parak of Baba Kama, that if I only have one of the partners shechting the animal, there's no chiyav dal v'hei. Chiyav dal v'hei is only when the thief shechts the animal. So Elachan Mitreya V'Talasanak. So the Gemara says, look, we could have given a number of answers, meaning there are multiple answers available to explain and defend Rav Yochanan. Okay, I get a chance to breathe. Okay, so what just happened in the last 20 lines of Gemara is basically we learned the halacha of Rav Yochanan, which is that if you're a ganav and you're caught, witnesses have caught you, you pay kefal. If you shech the animal, you chayv dal vehei. And what Rav Yochanan says is that the same halacha is going to be true by towing tainas ganav, where you're a shomer apikadon, you're asked to watch an item, your defense is, I'm really sorry the item was stolen from me, you're a shomer chinam, which would pat to you. Witnesses come and to court, and they uncover the fact that you were lying, and you yourself took the animal for yourself. So you're going to be paying kefal there as well. And then Rav Yochanan says, and we can go one step further. Just like an actual ganav is going to be paying dal vehei if he were to shecht or sell the animal, the towing tana's ganav also is going to be paying dal vehei. Next. We are on Kuf Vav Amud Beis, three quarters of the way down in the Gemara. Next discussion, Amar Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Toin Tanis Ganav Be'Aveda. If let's say you find a lost item, you pick it up, you hold on to it. Now, the moment you take it into your house to watch it, you are a shomer. What kind of shomer are you? So remember, this takes us back to the sixth parak of Baba Kama. Machlokis Amarayim, what kind of shomer you are. You are either a shomer chinam or you're a shomer sachar. Shomer chinam is really easy to understand. No one's paying you. So I can easily understand shomer chinam. How do you understand shomer sachar? So the classic Gemara that we learned earlier in the Masechta. You're a shomer sachar because by having to watch the animal, it's going to relieve you from other financial obligations. Okay. You get a knock on the door, right? Someone's looking to collect at the door, and you can say, "Look, I'm really sorry. I'm busy with another mitzvah." With the rule of osik b'mitzvah patam in a mitzvah. Okay, and you remember that engendered a wonderful discussion back then, right? Can you use that excuse at every single point in time that the Geneva is in your house? Okay. I didn't mean Geneva. I said Geneva. I meant Aveda. Okay. Anyway. So the animal... Okay. Huh? Right. But we're going right, to... When we get to Bab Metzia, we're going to discuss what kind of reimbursement you can ask. That's a Bab Metzia discussion. Okay. In the meantime, however, we're going to be discussing the following. So the animal starts by you because of the fact that you found it as a lost animal. And so now you are holding the Aveda. And then, towing tanas ganav. Owner comes to you, says to you, "You know, I heard that I lost an animal, I heard you found it." And you say to him, "Well, you know what, all that's true. But I'm really sorry, it was stolen from me." Okay. Now, if he's a shomer chinam, so then we're good. If he's a shomer sacher, it's a little trickier to understand this. Again, the Gemara in the sixth parak discuss this in more detail. We're focusing right now just on one aspect, and that is that if you're towing tanas ganav, not because you're a shomer pikadon, because you're a shomer aveda, still it's going to result in the same conclusion. If Adam come in and catch you, you're going to be chayv kefal. So misham teshlame kefal. My taima dechsev akol aveda asher yomar. Because again, you look in the pesukim and mishpatim, and you'll see that contextually, the kefal payment is going even on an aveda. Eish for Rabbi Abba Mamamala Rabbi Chaber Abba ki itein ish. So consider the following: a man gives his friend an item to watch. Ein nesinas katan klum. So that means then that it has to be that an adult is giving you something to watch. If a cunt gives you something that he owns, that is not going to, engender a chiv, an obligation. Now, certainly I can understand where he gives it to you while he's a katan, and then he makes a claim against you while he's a katan. The claim of a katan is not legally significant. But let's say the following. Let's say he gives you the item to watch while he's a katan. And then the taina and the claim he makes against you is when he's a gadol. Is that legally significant? So the Gemara says, no, it's still not going to be legally significant, even though the claim was made against you while he was an adult, but that's not enough. In order for the claim to be halachically significant, it has to be where he gives it to you and he makes a claim against you while he's an adult. Now the Gemara says, now let's think about this. Gemara asks such a wonderful question. Meaning, we just said that the halacha of toin tanas ganav applies even by an aveda. So that means you find a lost item. Now, if you find a lost item, that by definition means the owner didn't give it to you. Okay? Means that the owner lost it, you picked it up, and he then makes a claim against you. So shouldn't that be the same thing regarding the child? Meaning the child gave it to you. You want to tell me that giving is legally insignificant. Fine. But that can't be any worse than Aveda. In an Aveda, the owner didn't give it to you. It just, he lost it, and you happened to pick it up. So the Gemara is now asking, so I don't understand. So the Katan gave it to you, and that's legally insignificant. Fine. But then he becomes an adult, and he makes a claim against you. How is that any different than the Baal Aveda making a claim against you? It's a wonderful question. So the Gemara says, okay, so it must be then that the case is talking very specifically about where the katan gave it to you and you ate it while he was still a katan. So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, oh, wait one second. Now you're telling me that the halacha actually becomes more detailed and more specific. And you're now telling me that if the katan gave you an item and you ate it after he becomes a gadol, now you're telling me that that's going to be significant. The taina is going to be significant. So then, the critical moments over here is not when he gave it to you, but when you, the Shomer Aveda, ate it. That now becomes a critical moment. And the eating and the taina have to be coming while he's an adult. So, right? And so, the question is very good. Why is the Braisa talking about the Nesina? The Nesina is not significant. So, okay, the answer is that we're going to go back to the Braisa and either we'll re-understand the Braisa or we'll actually edit the Braisa. But one way or another, the Braisa actually means that. So Ravashi Amar Lodami Aveda, I'm sorry, Lodami. Ravashi says, look, we can give a fundamental distinction between the cases. Aveda ka'asi mikoch mendas. Vahalo asi mikoch mendas. Interesting. The Gemara says, look, even though when a katan gives you something that's legally insignificant, I still think that's different than somebody losing an item and you picking it up. Why? Because when someone loses an item and you pick it up, it was lost by somebody who was a bendas. Meaning, even though he didn't give it to you, but at least it's coming from somebody who had the potential to give it to you. When a katan is giving you something that is so legally insignificant, it's like, it's worse than you picking up an Aveda of an adult. It's his das is nothing, halachically, and so therefore it's ki'ilu, like there was it's kind of hard to put this in words, but it's like almost like there was no transaction whatsoever. As opposed to an Aveda, where even though he didn't give it to you, but we could still view it as more of a transaction, since he has das and you have das. Okay. V'am Rav Chiya Bar Abba Amar Rav Yochanan. Okay, as long as we're staying over halachas and Rav Yochanan as it relates to Torah and Tanis Ganav, so here comes our last halacha of the morning. I can say that confidently. Torah and Tanis Ganav b'pikadon. Let's say once again you're entrusted to watch an item. You claim that the item was stolen. Eino chayav ashiyachbor b'miksas v'yod b'miksas. So now, in order for there to be a liability and a shvur requirement, there must be where you're denying part of it and you're admitting part of it. What we call moda b'miksas. Now, generally speaking, when we say moda b'miksas, what immediately should come to mind is we're talking about a loan. Right? I gave you money, and whatever. Yeah, I gave you money. And I give $100, I come over to you and say, okay, it's really time for you pay me back, let's go. And he says to you, well, that's interesting, it wasn't $100, it was $50. Okay? In other words, so he admits to part of the obligation. So this is a classic case of moda b'miksas, and we know that the Torah requires a shvuah. What Rav Yochanan is telling us is that the moda b'miksas construct applies not only to the case of loan, but also to a pikadon as well. Now, how does he know this? So the answer is he knows this because actually the parsha of moda b'miksas is actually contained in the parsha of pikadon. In fact, I'm looking at the same page in Chumash, Perichav Beis. We're now in Pasuk Ches. Right earlier this morning, we talked about Pasuk Vav and Pasuk Zion as being Pesukim that relates to Torah and Tanis Ganav. And then it's the very next Pasuk. I'll call the Varpesha, I'll Shorachem, or I'll Sal Sama. I'll call Aveda Asher Yomar Kihuzeh, ki huzeh is the source in the Torah from Odom and Mikzas. So ad alokim avod vashneim asher yishim alokim yishalem shneim l'ra'eu. And then you go to court. So in other words, in order for there to be a tainas ganav, it must be that the nitan is admitting to some and denying some. And oh, by the way, we have to add one more feature in his claim. He's admitting to some, he's denying some, and he's also claiming that part of it was stolen. So there are actually three aspects to his claim. Then and only then would he be chayv kefal. Okay. That's Rav Yochanan Shita. Now, Enu Chayv Hashek, Yachbar B'mixos V'yodah B'mixos. My time, I'm a car. Ki huzeh. Okay. So, hopefully I presented it well. I know it's a little bit complicated. To be chayv kefal by Tanis Ganav, you need to admit to part of the claim, deny part of the claim, and then say that part of it was stolen. Then and only then, you're going to be chayv kefal. Because the parsha of Modim B'mixas is contained in the parsha of Pikadon. So the Gemara says, "Upliged the Rabbi Yosef Damar Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef," and the Gemara says, and by the way, other Amoraim disagree with this, notably Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, and he says, "Erev Parshios Kosef Khan." Okay, let's do Rashi. And this morning we're only going to do Rashi. There is other shitas out there, and you know that simply because of the breadth, length, and breadth of this Tosfos. But for this morning, we're just going to do Rashi. And the way Rashi presents it is like this. Look at the top Rashi and the Amud. Pasuk shu mi parsha acheres nit'arei bezu she'eno makomo. Meaning the words ki uzeh really comes from another section of Chumash and placed over here. But this is not the place. So, and where does it really belong? Im kesef talve hava lemichtave de hasam kai dila ba'ach parsha so de bikana below hadasa b'mixas mechayev. In other words, the parsha of ki huzeh of moda b'mixas is should have been by im kesef, meaning hava, not here by pikadon. So Rashi therefore says in explanation of Rav Yosef that this is ki huzeh doesn't belong here, was placed over here. Now, to the question of why, I don't know. In other words, and what was the Torah trying to achieve by doing this? It demands an answer. I just don't have one. With apologies, I say that. But that is Rav Yosef Shita, which means now that in the case of Pikadon by Toin Tanis Ganav, you're going to be Chayev, and you don't need to be Modib and Mixas in that claim. You're just going to be Chayev, just simply for claiming the item was stolen from you. And you don't need an additional Modib and Mixas component. In the case of Hava, by Modib and Mixas, you're going to be Chayev. And let's just read a little bit more. I know we are over time. So the Gemara says, and why is Modib and Mixas specific alone? So that we say this Gemara a number of times throughout Shas, Kidda Rabbi Damarab, Mimnema Amra Torah, Modib and Mixas, Etani Shava, Chazak, and Edam Meizpanabim Nebachovo. Someone lends you money. He did you a service. You're not going to be that chutzpah dick and say to him, I don't owe you anything. No one's going to do that. Now, of course, you want to admit that you owe all the money. There's just a small problem. You don't have all of it. And if I admit to the entire loan, he's going to want me to pay the entire thing. So I'll admit to part of it, and basically it'll be a way for me to buy time, and then when I get the rest of the money, then I'll pay it. So the Gemara says, and therefore, what the Torah wants for me at this point in time is that I should admit that I owe everything. So basically, the psychological explanation of why Modim and Mixas requires a Shvua. And then the Gemara just simply punctuates the point. Now that's true by a Milva, but that's not necessarily true by a Bikadon. And Rashi says, what's the difference? The difference is by a Milva, so he did you a favor. You're not going to be that chutzpah. By Bikadon, he's asking you to watch it. Okay, you know what? What a headache. I gotta watch his item, and then I've been watching it such a long time, and now he's coming to me, and now he's coming to me and wants it. You know what? I don't know where it is. So I'm not justifying, but explaining that it's much easier to rationalize a pikadon than it is a loan.